It's called cancer.
Welcome to episode 61 of Uncore Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jeff.
And boy, do we have a bevy of information to give you today, people. Like this, hot topic.
That's where I buy my band tees.
Not sponsored. You actually buy Hot Topic?
I buy band tees there.
The stigma of the Hot Topic didn't...
I buy band tees. They're easy to buy there. They have a large selection of band tees. Where else can I get band tees? I mean, there's stores where they have them, but they don't have the selection that they do.
Yeah, that's true. I almost bought a Pixies one. They had a really nice Pixies one there, but I didn't have money.
I used to buy tons of, like, Tool shirts and Disturbed shirts. Those were probably my two favorite.
Did you feel the irony of buying a Tool shirt in a shop that's known for making tools?
See what you did there.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're all right. Yeah, whatever. But it is a good place to buy
band tees. It's still a store. Yeah. I mean,
they do have a nice selection.
People just give them a bad... They don't give them a bad rap. It's just...
It became cool to shop at Hot Topic, so it became uncool to shop at Hot Topic.
Right? It's so uncool because it's so cool.
Yeah.
God damn people.
So, did you know that if you wanted to buy a Wii U gamepad, you can do that now?
But only in Japan.
But only in Japan.
And you know how much those things are?
No, I do not.
$104.
Yep, $104.
$104 for the gamepad, so you can play your Wii U. If you, whatever, submerge it in water for whatever reason, you know, it drops in your fish tank, right? Oh, guess what? Now you have to pay almost, you know, half the price of the console.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it is about half the console.
You're a piece of crap.
What?
It's not half the console, dude. You can play it with a Wiimote. Just saying, man.
Then why do you even need one in the first place? Oh, yeah, because you can't start your games.
I'm just... Whatever, you know? Whatever. No, wait, can you? No, you actually need it, huh?
Yeah, you do need it to be able to run things.
Anyways, it's stupid expensive. Stupid expensive. And it just, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem... I don't know what I would do if my Wii Pad broke.
Probably just keep playing on your NX. Or streaming on your PS4. Dude, I saw you playing Isaac the other day. And I jumped on my Twitch. I was all giddy and excited. I was like, alright. Black Hole Flare's back.
Okay. But
there was nothing there.
Okay, here's the deal with that. Afterbirth is out.
Yeah.
So people tend to not care about Rebirth. Because they want to see Afterbirth. Right?
Right.
Number two.
Everybody always loves seeing Afterbirth.
No. No. Well, yeah. Wait. These names, man. These names. But yeah, anyway. So that's number one. Right? Number two, I'm doing Lost Runs because I want a platinum, real platinum got it. So, yeah. I'm dying all the damn time. I'm just like, I can't even make it out of the basement a lot of times.
That's right. You have your fan base. They want to see you play.
Yeah, I know. I got the regulars, you know what I mean, to show up. I know. Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I'll be Dan, Titan Day, Vegan Dan.
It just seems Kenny. Like so, Actually, yeah, Kenny's shown up the last couple times.
I can't remember what his username. Is it Kenny something?
It's Kenny, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's his full name. Oh, but man. I'm not going to say it just in case.
He doesn't know the internet.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just felt like it was just so,
Here's the thing, right?
Like, just things...
Things of Twitch and stuff like that, right? You get the whatever kids, the kids you don't really care about. They're just there because they want to see the hot new toy, right? But then you get your fan base. The ones that are there every time you start
streaming. The ones that are there for you and not the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had this conversation with another,
I mean, you think about it. Your Legend of Zelda runs? The game's like 80 years old.
Zelda 2?
Yeah, Zelda 2.
Yeah, but people love the classics. People love the classics, man. And this falls in the spot where it's not a classic, and I mean, the new one just came out.
Right.
So nobody cares about after, you know, like Rebirth right now. Nobody cares about it.
Sure.
But you are correct. You are correct. There's the people that follow you for you, Not for the games. They follow you for you. They like you. They
those are the ones that stick around. They're
your internet friends, yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a good way of putting it, because they're even though you don't know them, they really are friends. They do everything a friend would do. You know what I mean? Like hanging out with you. Whenever they see you go on, they're like, they're on it. They're right there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're just like, yeah. When you talk about your personal life, they remember that. And they do. Next time you're on, they're like, oh, hey, how's your, like, your wife doing, man?
They make fun of me.
Yeah.
What? My wife? What? Hey, how's your wife, man?
How's your wife?
What the hell you want to know for?
It's not the connotation I was going for, but, you know.
And yeah, like I said, I had this conversation with a fellow Twitcher, and I don't remember what led into it, but they were talking about, you know, how, you know, it's like, even though you might not, you know, if you're not popular, it doesn't matter, because you have your fan base, you know what I mean? Yeah. You have people that come to your Twitch channel for you. Not these games, not the games you're playing. You could play any crappy game and they'll still be there with you. You know what I mean? And if you're in it just to make it big, then you know what I mean?
It's expensive if you're trying to make it big. You got to buy the new game, start playing it right when it comes out.
People are trying too hard nowadays. I mean, I think a lot of the people that made it big are people who were there from the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when this whole thing started, like,
only five people to watch
it. Yeah, anyway. There was, like, they were there, and, you know, and it became more and more popular, because there wasn't too much to choose from. But now, everybody and their mother is a streamer, dude. You know what I mean? And I've been doing it for about, like, was it 2 years now? Around 2 years? Something like that?
On and off.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't care. I mean, I first did it just to for my friends, you know, just to show the friends. I wanted to see them. I want them to see me dancing.
Right, right.
That was my very first cast.
Was that your first one?
Yeah, that was the very first one, dude.
Oh wow, I was there for your first one.
Yeah,
no, really?
Yeah.
I could have sworn you talked about you casting before that.
No. That was my first one.
Wow, I was there for that.
Yeah.
The struggles. That's of when, trying to set up Borderlands.
Because you were telling everybody about my channel. It's like, hey, this guy's gonna stream, and you told Green Dragon, you told. What's his name? Treason Gaming?
Treason Gaming, yeah.
You were telling everybody, and everybody just started popping up. And they all started following me. And then, they continued on into the whole, what is it? The mushroom zombie game.
Oh, Last of Us.
The Last of Us, yeah. They continued a little bit into that, but then they started kind of going away. And these are guys that just don't do Twitch very much. Like, they don't. Yeah. Except, a couple of them do, but, you know, and that's fine. They don't follow, or they don't watch me anymore, but I don't care about that, you know what I mean? It's an interesting thing, you know, the people that you don't know are the ones that actually follow you the most. You know what I'm saying? My moderator, Vegan Dan, is in there all the time. Yeah.
Well, I am in a different username.
Yeah. Black Hole Flares.
No.
Yes.
Not anymore.
You've done that like three times.
I actively memory motion, like, go straight to the PlayStation Twitch app when I should be going to the Twitch app on PlayStation. You know, it's a little confusing. If people, like, send me,
wait,
like,
can you do both now? I thought
Two different apps.
I thought they kind of did away with the PlayStation one.
No, it's still there.
Oh, well, what's the point?
Yeah, well, it's more for streaming, because you can't stream through the app.
No, I mean, as a watcher, like, as a viewer.
Well, I'm glad it's there, because you can do your Black Hole Flare Twitch when you want to do your Isaac Runs here, and I can watch with my username and not have to go into the stupid PlayStation menu to switch it out.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, every time, like, the last couple times that I've been on, like, I see this, you know, I'm talking to Titan, and all of a sudden, I type a message that I didn't type. I was like, hey, I told Titan, hey, that's not me. I didn't type that. And then right away, I mean, I knew who it was. I was like, that's Vegan Dan. That's stupid Vegan Dan on my account typing Black Hole Flare stuff when it ain't Black Hole Flare.
Yeah, you know, I'm just jumping on, like, Albie Dang's channel. I'm like, hey, what's up?
No wonder Albie Dang hates me now.
No, that was all you, man. Dude,
you did that on your own.
You did that on your own. Actually, I don't think we told the listeners the story. Of you and Albie Dang.
Sorry about what? Which story? There's like a few stories.
The Billy story.
The hillbilly?
Yeah.
I called him a hillbilly.
You guys might remember it, and I'm sure Albie Dang.
Albie Dang. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not much to the story. I called the. You, and I did it on the podcast. I called Albie Dang a hillbilly. I told him he was a hillbilly type.
Hillbilly type. Like, you said something like he sounded like a hillbilly.
Yeah, like the way he talks, right? And then I was watching through one of his videos because I didn't catch the beginning of it. So I caught just kind of towards the middle of the cast, and so I replayed the video after he was done just to catch up to the part where I started watching. And he was like, he said something like a. Yeah, so got called a hillbilly by that B-hole Flair. Wish B-hole Flair was here or something like that.
I just want everybody to understand, because I watched some of these
videos.
So he
calls me B-hole Flair now, yeah.
Yeah, I watched some of these videos and stuff like that. And I'm just right now, Jeff makes the accent way more hillbilly than it actually sounds in person.
I don't know about that. Well, Miss Rombaum said it was more of a Tennessee type accent. Right?
Probably, yeah.
But he doesn't live in Tennessee.
I don't know where he lives.
He lives in Hillbilly. Hillbilly.
He lives in Montana?
No, where does he live? I forgot where he lives.
No offense to anybody from Montana. I just think of like...
Of course not, yeah.
Stuff like that.
I can't remember where he lives, but it's not like Hillbilly Town, though.
Then why are you so fixated?
Because he just kind of sounds like a hillbilly to me. I don't know.
I mean, he has a bit of a...
And I asked him, hey, dude, were you mad? Were you mad that I called you a hillbilly? He was drunk at the time, by the way, when he was talking about, when saying that dang black hole, B-hole Flair call me a hillbilly. And, and I asked him, hey, dude, because I saw the video, right? I was like, hey, were you mad when I called you a hillbilly? He's like, nah, man. I was like, that was fun. It's like I like that. It was fun for me. It was like, and sometimes I don't realize, he told me, sometimes I don't realize how thick my accent is until someone tells me. And I was like, well, yeah, man, I mean, I didn't mean nothing by it. You know, it's fun for me too.
Man, and his entire stream that day was called
I'm a hillbilly.
I'm a hillbilly.
He named his cast I'm a hillbilly. Oh my god!
Oh man, what a good sport, man!
I love that guy, dude. I was thinking about actually having him on the cast, like somehow just
like a Skype call or something.
Yeah, like something like that, and just have him sit in through the show.
We can see if we can figure it out with our small technical knowledge.
I don't know, man. I'm getting there. I'm getting there with my technologies. But, I really want the guy. I want him on, at least
yeah,
once,
we could do
you know?
The Twitch streamer special.
Right? Oh, we could do that. Dude, we could do, like, a live stream with that guy. Because we could do a Skype call through the PC if we're doing a live stream of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might work. We'll have a, yeah.
You're
I mean,
so,
we'll have,
you're
we'll
so
have
excited.
A,
you're so
we'll
excited.
Do a screenshot. We'll do a screenshot of the Skype, you know. Camera,
yeah.
And then on the other side, we'll do us with my webcam because my webcam is better than your webcam.
It is. That is a very old webcam.
And yeah, I don't know, man. I think that might work.
Okay.
If you're down, whatever.
No, yeah, I'll sit there. I'll talk with Albie Dang.
I mean, if you don't like Albie Dang, I'll let him know.
I think he'll know. I mean, just by listening to the podcast.
Yeah, he listens to my podcast all
yeah.
the time. That's cool.
It is
Thank
cool.
you. Thank you, Albie Dang. I really
Thanks
do
a lot,
appreciate
man.
That.
And talks about it. I mean, that's a bit. That's
yeah. And he tells his viewers to listen. You know what I mean?
That's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah, man, that guy's like super awesome. He's a super cool dude, and I really love that guy.
Just check out his Twitch.
In
I'll
a,
be damned.
In a very homosexual way, I love that guy. I mean, not homo. That's what I meant.
Why are you taking your pants off?
I'll put them back on.
All right. This is actually some really interesting news here. Do you know who Billy Mitchell is?
Oh, he's that guy.
You have no idea, do you?
No.
All right, so Billy Mitchell is a big, kind of a, was a big name, especially like in the 70s and like 80s and stuff like that.
70s?
His popularity kind of petered out a bit now because people don't really talk about this stuff anymore. But he beat Pac-Man, Arcade Pac-Man. He currently holds the record for Donkey Kong.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, Billy Mitchell, and he sells hot sauce.
I didn't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, like mullet, like beard. Yeah. Wears all black.
He has like a thick beard, kind of like yours.
Yeah, it said more kept. Right. Obviously. I'm not sure if you ever saw. There's a movie special. I think it might even be on Netflix. It's really interesting. It's called King of Kong.
I haven't watched it, but I know it's like a documentary, right?
Yeah, it's a documentary. Yeah. It's really great. It's about a notorious situation where there's this guy competing, trying to take the record of Donkey Kong, and a lot of kind of like people feel like there's like some like real like shady stuff going on through that whole event. Like Billy Mitchell was like, because Billy Mitchell knows the guy who basically reviews the scores of like the records and stuff like that, and basically you send him a VHS and he watches it and see if he can see any like screen tearing or like faking.
This is how that works? Oh, this is how that worked back then.
No, it's pretty modern. It's like 90s, 2000s. Yeah, so it's still how
it works. Well, I mean, that's still pretty early, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
but like he watches it, and this is pretty much what it is. He watches it and he watches it over and over again to see if there's any manipulation in the game. What are you running the... obviously, it's off a board, so he's trying to see if somebody twitched the board around to make it easier and stuff like that, because that's the thing people know how to do. And he decides if, like, the record's valid or not. And so... And he's friends with Billy Mitchell, so people are like, did he just say it was fake because, you know, he's friends with Billy Mitchell, and there's, like, a whole thing, and the guy was like, all right, I'll do it in the arcade, like, Billy... In front of Billy Mitchell, we'll just go back and forth, you know, like, because I want this record. I worked very hard on this and stuff like that. And, like...
So he sent in a video with a beating his record, and the guy's like, no, that's not real.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And so, I guess Billy Mitchell was like, no, I can't do that, or something like that, like, kind of, like, sidestepping, backpedaling, whatever. So it's a really interesting documentary called King of Kong. Anyway, there is a regular show episode, a cartoon show on Cartoon Network.
I know a regular show.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's a cool show, yeah.
And there was a character by the name of Garrett Bobby Ferguson.
The guy with the raccoon, right? That's the one with the raccoon.
Yeah, it's the one with the raccoon and the blue jay.
Yeah, the blue jay.
So they had a character called Garrett Bobby Ferguson. And it's one of the episodes. I think it was like second season, possibly. And Billy Mitchell sued the creators of the regular show for because of his likeness. Now I'm going to show you a picture. They have a picture here side by side of the character from the cartoon and Billy Mitchell.
I mean, that could be anybody. All you have to have is long hair and a goatee, and you're that guy.
Anyway, so in the episode, the character GBF is like he holds a record for this game called I think it's Viva La Raza, and I don't remember if it was Mordecai.
Is he Mexican?
I don't remember too much. It was a long time since I've seen it. But it was Mordecai or Rigby. Like, they were going to beat the high record of that game, right? And it was held by somebody called GBF. And so when they beat it, like, this GBF character shows up.
So I guess it is him, huh?
Yeah. And it's just a head with, like, hands and, like feet, I think. Or no, it's just a floating head. And I think he grows hands to play the game, if I remember correctly. Something like that. So he can actually control the game. And, like, he's trying to keep his record, and he's like, he starts to cheat as he's losing and stuff like that. So anyway, Billy Mitchell was suing them because he felt that the character GBF was a transformative depiction of himself. And the federal district judge in New Jersey, her name's Annie Thompson, or Ann Thompson, depending on how she pronounces it, threw the case out. She said that the show is protected by the First Amendment, and that Mitchell isn't a, quote, cartoonishly evil floating head.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the First Amendment thing. That's what I was, like, thinking of. Like, you can just basically express yourself in any way, right?
Right. I mean, there's still...
How can you sue for someone, like, drawing a picture of you?
There's still slander, right? Like, if somebody does it specifically just to, like, throw your name under the mud or whatever, that's slander, and that's, like...
Nobody knows who this guy is.
I did. Actually, the first time I found out
nobody except Vegan Dan knows who this guy is.
Anybody that watched G4 TV back when they actually had video game shows.
But these guys... Okay, this cartoon is fairly new. You know, it's going to appeal to a smaller audience, an audience that doesn't know about this stuff. You know what I mean? It's not, and I think that, you know, that it's no one's really going to know. Nobody's really going to know. This guy isn't all that famous, though.
He was for a while, like in the video game community. I mean, he was
back when it was relevant.
I guess, yeah.
Which is our, like, generation, dude, but nobody remembers that.
Oh, he still holds on to his fame, though.
Yeah, and he's going to keep on doing it, dude. Like, that's all he has. That really is all he has, because he's probably sued because he doesn't have anything else.
Well, apparently he has a pretty successful, like a chili sauce type of thing, like a kind of stuffing chili.
Chili sauce?
Yeah. I can't remember. I think it's chili sauce and like rubs. Yeah, okay. For like ribs and stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just a little quick quote.
Quick.
I'm having a hard time speaking tonight.
Quick quote.
From what the judge said when she was throwing out the case. And when GBF loses his title, the character literally explodes, unlike the plaintiff. It's like, that's why you're not...
I bet you he did explode when he lost his title, though.
I just thought that was, like, a little interesting thing. It's part of, you know, history of the gaming community and stuff that, you know, a lot of people probably don't know. Check out that documentary, King of Kong. It's really great. If you want to know about him and Pac-Man, look for an Icons episode. They did an entire episode based on him. And his ability to beat Pac-Man. He's the only person, as far as I know... he was the first person... And I think he has a record for beating Pac-Man. I mean,
you end up getting like a blue screen or death kind of thing, right?
You get a kill screen, which is like the memory just can't render the whole thing anymore. And I know some people, there was going to be a documentary, some people were trying to show that he was trying to beat his record in Pac-Man, which is considered impossible to do because as far as everybody knows, he did everything.
Did he grab every item?
That's
every fruit, everything?
As far as everybody knows, he did.
Killed every ghost with the pellets?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. He has the highest record.
For every level?
Yeah.
That's totally insane, dude.
I told you, this guy became famous, really because of Pac-Man. I mean, he has a lot of records. He has a lot of records, but Pac-Man... Dude...
I just find it hard to believe that towards the harder levels... That he ate every fruit and killed every ghost with every pellet.
Let me put it to you this way. Right, Pac-Man's not a short game. He beat this on one quarter. And during playing that, he would have to go to the bathroom. He would have to go pee and whatnot. He knows in what levels and in what positions you can leave Pac-Man long enough to go to the bathroom and come back and not be killed by a ghost.
He studied the crap out of this game.
He holds the record for a reason.
I didn't even realize there were safe spots in there.
As far as I know, he was the first person to get to the kill screen in Pac-Man.
There's safe spots in Pac-Man? Dude, that's weird.
There's like, there's places where you can put Pac-Man, and like the ghost won't find him long enough for you to go do something real quick and come back. Like, you know, eventually the ghost will get Pac-Man, but like they, for some reason, like, just long enough won't be able to find him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Stupid AI. Well, whatever. Screw that guy. Good thing they tossed it out. I like that judge. Judge is cool. So, let me tell you about Benjamin Burnley, then, from Breaking Benjamins.
Don't know what that is.
Breaking Benjamins.
No. Is it like a...
It's a band.
Oh, yeah. I really do not know anything about the band.
But you know the band. Like, you've heard of the band, but...
Yeah, like, I've heard the name that they were a band, but so long
ago. Well, anyway, Benjamin Burnley, he's a singer for the band. And this is okay, I'm just going to read the direct quote here, okay? This is on his Twitter, all right? Talking about EA. They wanted to pay me to post that I like this piece of shit game. They can shove it up their ass. This game sucks. I'd rather watch the god-awful prequels... Then play this piece of shit one more second. That's for ruining Star Wars, EA.
Wow, he did not like the Star Wars game.
Yeah, he's talking about Battlefront, yeah.
See, a lot of people gave Battlefront good reviews, though.
Yeah,
a lot of people did. Is he accusing those people of, like, taking money?
I don't know. EA people went up to him and told him, hey, can you like this? Because what happened is they saw him in cosplay at I don't remember what event he was at or what he was doing exactly, but they saw him in a Star Wars cosplay with one of the newer characters.
Right.
So they're like, oh, this guy loves Star Wars. So they approach the guy, and they're like, hey, you know, we'll give you this much money for you to say that you like Battlefront. And so he ends up putting this quote in there, and then a picture of a broken Battlefront disc.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a Star Wars fan, apparently, but he just didn't like the game.
It's interesting. I mean, I've heard people say it's pretty fun. I got like in the 80s and stuff as far as review scores and stuff like that I've seen personally.
Well, I got good reviews from everybody, really.
Like it puts a spin on it though, because if EA is going around like paying people to say, hey, to say you like this game, and like it's getting like,
oh, this guy's not a sellout, bro.
I know. It's almost in the way of saying like, hey, they offered me money to say I liked it. Did they offer somebody else money? And, I mean, not to say anything bad about the review company. I'm sure there's a lot of like standards and stuff like that, but it's just like, it's always something people always say about review company. You always see it in the comments, like, how much did they pay you for this review? Oh, I guess they didn't pay these people for this review. You know, depending on what the score is and stuff like that.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how many of them are legit. How many got paid boku money for it?
It would have to be under the table. There'd have to be some crazy investigation.
Why would it have to be under the table?
Because you would get, you're a journalist. You'd like, you think the journalist company itself is like, hey, if you want to take a bribe, that's fine.
They're paying them to say something.
Right.
But I mean, it's not something that's, like, unheard of.
They'd be paying the reviewer personally.
Oh, you're talking about reviewers, not the actual, like, people. Yeah.
Not famous people.
Oh, then, yeah, that would be definitely bullcrap.
That would be total bullcrap. Everybody says they don't do it, but everybody always says they don't do it, you know?
I mean, there's a lot of famous people that would probably do it, you know? Give them a bunch of money and then.
Yeah, I mean, that's what commercials are, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Infomercials.
Infomercials.
Yeah, I lost 40 pounds by just drinking this tea. No, you didn't. You were already skinny before you started this thing. Don't lie.
Don't lie to me.
We did our own clinical studies. Like, what? No, you're no doctor. You don't have a doctor. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevorkian, and I agree to this tea.
Dr. Kevorkian is a doctor.
Huh?
He was a doctor, though.
Yeah, I know, he was a doctor.
Yeah.
But he was a doctor of death.
I mean, he was a doctor that facilitated
that
people
didn't that do his themselves. Job, that went against what he stands for as a doctor.
I mean, he was, you could say
doctors take oaths.
He went from being a doctor to being a vet.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, essentially, yeah. But still, that's not legal in his profession.
It is not legal in his profession.
And he knew this, and he kept doing it.
He got
arrested for it, right?
Yeah, I think so. There was a pretty good documentary, a movie. What is it called?
For those guys, if there's anybody out there who doesn't know who Dr. Kevorkian is, he basically...
he was a doctor.
He was a real doctor, and he killed patients that wanted to die... Because
they had terminal diseases.
Yeah. So they just like, hey, can you just off me now? And the doctor's like, sure.
Well, it wasn't necessarily like that.
It wasn't that easy, obviously. These are
people that, like, they literally had no life. Like, you know, like people with the, multiple sclerosis or whatever. Like, your body just freezes up and you literally just can't do anything. Like, what's his name has? Stephen Hawking's stuff like that, and where it's just like
that's not multiple sclerosis.
No, he doesn't have multiple sclerosis, but conditions like that, where it's like you're just trapped in your own body, and like you just feel pain or something like that, and you'd be like, "This is gonna happen to me like in a week or two." Like,
Hawking wasn't supposed to live beyond his 20s.
Exactly. Yeah.
So imagine that guy going up to this doctor and saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna die in my 20s anyway, so just kill me," and then not knowing that he was gonna basically live a full life. And aside from that fact that he's always going to be in the wheelchair and he has to, like...
Not be able to move.
Yeah, and all that stuff, talk, dude. Yeah. He's just a cool person, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is like he's a smart motherfucker, man.
He's willing to make fun of himself. He's not... Yeah. I always like it when people are like, yeah, no, do some jokes on me. In fact, I'll voice the character myself.
Yeah. And then there was one he did a bit with who was that?
Stephen Colbert? He might have been, yeah. I think he
was on it might have been chicken. On a Daily Show or something like that where you're like they said something like that and they said something about like so in an alternate universe I'm smarter than you. And Stephen Clark is like, ha, 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 not very likely, or something like that. And then, you know, he was just like, he's cracking jokes on the computer. And then he asked him, like, a random question. He's like, do you know how long it takes for me to create answers for your questions? And, like, he's like, I'm not going to answer a fucking random question because it takes me fucking forever to type this shit.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even think he programs this stuff anymore, right? He might have done it before, but I think somebody else that does it for him. Because everything he does now is like pre-typed.
Oh really?
Yeah, like it's just he can't do it on the spot. Yeah. Like he just can't do it on the spot. So
yeah, because he has to do it all by like his eyes and looking like different directions.
It's just
like
it's that, insane, right? Yeah. Dude. But I mean, yeah, that guy's a champ, man.
Yeah. Toughening out, trying to keep that sciencey.
All right. Well, Old Hunters.
Yeah, that's out today.
Yeah.
As of this recording, I've not had a chance to try it out yet, though.
But you got it, right?
Oh, yeah. I
got you know it. How to access the DLC?
I know you got to go to where you killed
Why?
The bosses.
Why? Why do you have to do all this stuff?
Well, I mean, it's not intended to be something you do at the end of the game. It's intended as you're playing the game, you come across this stuff, too.
But still, it's a little...
So, like, you're so pretty in. So you
I think it's still a little convoluted, dude.
It's not that complicated.
I think it is. There's two
steps that are convoluted.
You need to know where to go and how to do things.
It's the same as getting to Castle Kanehurst or as getting to, how was the other area called? Or as, like, the bosses in the Frontier. In Nightmare Frontier. And, you know, like, there's stuff that's already in the game where it's kind of like, if you don't know it, you'll probably never see it.
Okay, what about going to that guy that grabs you with his arm in the graveyard?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know you're supposed to take whatever item with you to him?
You read the item description.
Does it actually say on there?
It doesn't say, like, take this to that person, et cetera, et cetera.
What does it say?
It says, like, Dude, I can't remember exactly what it says.
Exactly, because it doesn't say nothing.
That's how the FromSoftware games have been in, like, the Dark Souls and stuff like
that. Yeah, Dark Souls was a little crazier, I heard, from, you know, a little more crazy than Bloodborne DLC.
A little less descriptive, but a little bit more lore descriptive, I would say, stuff like that. Like, people were able to piece together a lot of the lore based off, like, little bits here and there of different items. Or is this one just more like...
I like the idea, but it seems like they might be making it a little difficult for people.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice, though, because it builds that community.
Well, I guess that was the point behind it, right? Just to figure it out as a community, like kind of like Isaac and the Lost.
Yeah, oh, speaking of Isaac and the Lost, did you hear about the Greed?
What about Greed?
How it got unlocked?
They do it again?
No. They couldn't do it. You could not data mine this.
How? Wait.
So, Edna McMillan and this team, they released a ARG, where people assumed was an ARG, and they were correct. It was an ARG. And eventually, by cracking the code and stuff like that, people found found this place in, like, the middle of, like, Arizona or something like that. And they dug up this little, like, bag. Inside the bag was a little Isaac statue of Greed. I think. Or they found... No, they found, like, the... They had to get the password to the Twitter of Greed that Edmund had set up. They found the username, they had to guess what the password is, and they had to, like, post something in the past as that Twitter account, and, like, it unlocked Greed in the game.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this. That's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, I love ARGs. I dream so bad that I can get on the cutting floor of an ARG. This sounds like the best things ever, dude. it's just a spy game. And like a real life spy game somebody creates for you. Where it's just like, oh hey, there's gonna be the payphone on like corner of like Morrissey and like Grant's gonna ring at like 4:15 in like Santa Cruz, California. Is anybody here near Santa Cruz, California? Can somebody be there when it rings?
Holy crap, dude.
This is a real thing, dude. This happens. The most famous one is I Love Bees.
I love that
bees.
Guy even more, man. I love that guy even more now.
Yeah, the most famous ARG was I Love Bees. It was, like, done for Halo 2, I believe. And, like, this got so big that somebody literally stood at the payphone and waited for the call in the middle of a tsunami on the East Coast.
And I'm assuming they didn't know there was going to be a tsunami at the time.
Well, the ARG people probably didn't know it was a tsunami at the time, but because it was, you know, probably planned so far in advance. Yeah. But this guy is like, yeah, no, I got the call. Here's the next part of the message or next part of the clue or whatever. And he's standing out there in the middle of the tsunami.
That's dedication, bro. Yeah. That is dedication.
The ARGs are awesome, dude.
I mean,
I don't know how much help I would be because a lot of it's like cracking code and like reading the files and stuff like that and all this stuff. And I don't have those.
Like
skills.
Going into the game's code, yeah. I don't know.
Or image codes or like sound file codes.
I don't know how to do all that stuff. I'm lost when it comes to that.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah, dude. I love this guy now. I didn't know about that though. I'm gonna read up on that. I gotta find out what exactly happened.
I mean, because like I'm sure he probably did it because of people data mining.
Well, yeah, he knew people were gonna do it. Yeah.
And I think it also unlocked a bunch of the stuff that was missing from the game. Yeah, a lot of the trophies that people were like, "Well, how do you get these trophies? How do you get these trophies? You get
them the secret ones that nobody that doesn't tell you how
because you need to get them using greed."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some new character, something like that. You have to get like 1,000 coins in greed mode or something like that.
That is greed.
Is that greed?
Yeah. You have to donate like 1,000 coins to the greed bank, and then like blow it up or something like that. And
yeah. Somebody was talking about that when I was watching the Isaac stream.
And greed's life is coins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you only have 2 coins, and he shoots coins instead of tears or whatever. It's cool.
So, did you play the Old Hunters?
No, I haven't had a chance to. Yeah. It just came out, and Tuesdays are get home.
Well, it came out this morning.
Yeah, I work.
But you were here for like 4 hours.
Tuesdays are the days where I get to watch all my super violent, sexually driven, adult-oriented shows.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, vegan.
Because it's when I get to be in my room alone and just zone out. And watch my super violent stuff.
Not bothered by the misses. All right. Continuing on this topic of things coming out, Rainbow Six Siege has the open beta coming out November 25th, which is tomorrow, which will probably be today.
When you hear this, it's live.
Yeah, basically.
As of the day of recording, there's actually a closed beta, a 1-day closed beta. For people that were in the beta previously.
Yeah, they get to start it already.
I got invited to it, but I have not downloaded it, so I'm not going to get to it tonight.
And you can download it now, but you won't be able to play until tomorrow.
Yeah, except I could.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he was in the closed beta.
So people ask...
And that's a 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah.
So that would be 10 Eastern?
Yeah, I think so.
10 Eastern, yeah.
And it's basically only for the weekend. So, from tomorrow to, like, the 29th, I think? But some people were saying, like, why are they doing another beta? Like, the game's coming out, like, in a week. Like, it doesn't make sense. They're not going to be able to implement any changes that they get from this beta into the release of the game. The game's gold. The game's already shipping to stores.
Yeah.
And,
because everybody else wants to play it, that's why.
No. I think there's a very clear reason why they did this open beta. Because the servers in the closed beta were atrocious, and people were talking about it.
Oh, you think it's just like a stress test then?
I think this is less of a stress test, and more of them saying, "Hey, look, you're not waiting 2 hours for a match anymore. We got that fixed." Plus, no, just try the beta. It's open beta. You'll see.
It's gonna be a ton of people on there. Yeah,
you'll see. We fixed it.
It better be fixed because there's gonna be a lot of people.
Because I know they got a lot of bad, like, a lot of people were very uncomfortable with how that beta went. It was very buggy.
Real quick, some sales. And, there's going to be sales all over the place. Just, check your local stuff.
Dude, they're already happening, dude.
I know.
Black Friday's not even a thing anymore.
I know. So, You know what I mean? Just check them out, everybody. I mean, I'm just going to name a couple. But, so, I mean, Costco is selling both the X-Bone and the PS4 for $300. The X-Bone comes with a controller and the Lego Movie game. The PS4 is just a standard 500 gig, you know, with one controller for $300. Game? No game. Yeah, it's $50, oh. Basically $50 off. But you can also get the PS4 Uncharted Nathan Drake collection for $300. That comes with the game, the Nathan Drake collection. The X-Bone Gears of War Ultimate Bundle for $300. So, you know, maybe Costco's not the best choice, but they're still, you know, lowering the price of it. And the Wii U has the Splatoon and Smash for $250 bundle. Right? These are all, like, great bundles, and they're all on sale for, you know, the, you know, Thanksgiving holiday. GOG is actually having a sale with a lot of games. So just, you know, check with GOG. Most notably, I think, is Witcher 3, which is $30. And that is through the 29th of this month. So, yeah GOG is having, like, a huge sale.
They're doing a lot of sales. I know Sony has a sale right now, co-op game sale, where it's, like, a bunch of games meant to be played, or funner to play with other people. And you can get Far Cry 4 for $20. And there's also a coupon that they have on their PlayStation, like, What's New page. It was 10% off your cart. So you can combine that with the sales and stuff. The Borderlands, the Handsome Jack collection is on sale for $20 on the PS4. Who knows what else is on sale for the PS3 and the Vita.
Sales everywhere. I mean, just check Amazon. I mean, Amazon having a huge sale as well.
Walmart.
Bunch of things going on. Like, just check everywhere for what you want. I mean, check in multiple sites, see what the better deal is, and just, you know, have a blast, man, because they're cheap. Everything's cheap now.
Everything is cheap now.
And it's not going to last.
You wanted that heart transplant? It's cheap right now.
Okay, so that's that. Anyway, I want to talk about Blizzard.
Okay.
You heard about Blizzard, right?
What do you mean?
About them suing?
No. Man, okay. What's with all those lawsuits right now?
So Blizzard's Blizzard's not new to this, and especially not new with Bossland, right? So Bossland makes bots for
the bot thing.
Yeah. So Bossland makes bots for their games and other games, Diablo 3, you know,
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And so I guess Blizzard and Bossland have been going at it for a while. Blizzard doesn't want any bots in their game, and they have suspended people's accounts for using bots.
Yeah.
And they're completely against it. So they're suing them for the same thing, for using bots in the game, right? Now, Bossland is countersuing. And it didn't actually specifically say that they are countersuing, but I'm assuming that's what it meant. Basically, Blizzard's stealing the source code for their bots. So, here's the deal. Blizzard goes up to this freelancer guy that works with Bossland, with the bots and whatever. And he tells him, hey, basically, we'll give you this if you give us the source code for the bots. And Bossland's like, okay, well, that guy, that source code did not belong to that guy.
Right.
So it wasn't his to give away, and so you have stolen the source code that belongs to us. That is a legal property of Bossland. So they're gonna go at it in court. They're gonna have a war, man.
Man, that's really interesting because I didn't read too much into it. I just kind of heard it like real quick, and I thought I heard was that Blizzard was going after Bossland for all the bots and stuff like that. I thought I heard somebody say that Bossland just, like, countered Blizzard and was like, hey, yeah, we got the source code to your game.
Oh, no. Other way around. Yeah, Blizzard basically stole the source code for the Bossland bots and stuff like that.
Like, from when I heard it, I thought like, Bossland was being, like, crazy. It was like, hey, yeah, no, we can recreate your game. We have the source code. So, like, do you want to bring this lawsuit at us? Like, bring it. And, you know, I'll just put it out there. Everybody can play Warcraft for free now.
Okay, here's the deal. Bossland is, it's creating a service that people want. Right?
I mean, it's just, it's pretty much gold farming.
I don't believe they're doing anything illegal. They're not doing anything illegal. They're creating a bot for a game, right?
Right.
In the same manner that somebody creates a mod for a game. You know what I mean?
It's
I know it's different. I know it's not the same. But
here's what it is. Here's really what the brass tacks of it is, right? Bossland is creating microtransaction in World of Warcraft.
The gold thing.
Yeah.
The gold selling thing, right?
The gold selling, account selling, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They've created a microtransaction business where there wasn't one.
That's a bit different.
Think about it.
That's a bit different, though, than just, like, straight-up bots. That's
what the bots are for.
For that game, yeah.
For power-leveling your characters, for getting, buying and selling gold. A lot of companies that use bots in Warcraft are for gold farming, so they can sell gold on
what sites. About Diablo?
Yeah, a lot of the same things. People want
to sell items. Stuff in Diablo?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't play these games.
Because they got the ladder matches and stuff like that. People want to get all the good gear so they can climb the ladder and stuff like that and, like, be one of the top players. So, like, go on the website and buy it off Boston or whatever. Give me those good items.
But still, Bossland is selling their bots, but they're not really making money other than that way, right?
I don't know. Like I said, I really didn't look too much into it, but I mean,
I understand totally if they're making money in game, you know, not just by, you know, selling the bots is one thing. They're providing a product, people are buying the product, they're making money, right? Mm-hmm. But if they're making money with the bots in the game, where the game, you know, like it's making the money, as you know, continuing to make the money. And I can see that totally not being right. You know, it's super. That's got to be illegal somehow. It's got to be illegal somehow.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's definitely against the user license agreements.
Yeah, from Blizzard. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why Blizzard's closing so many accounts. And it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there are also a lot of people who complain a lot for nothing, for something that doesn't affect them.
Too much. Man, they're like German.
Yeah, this is all happening in Germany, dude. I know Bossland is the counter suing from Bossland is in Germany. I don't know about the Blizzard. I will assume that it's all going to be in the same courtroom. Because I mean, when you sue and counter sue, it's usually the same case, right? They're usually dealing with it in the same case, right? Same room, same judge, whatever.
I think so. I think it has to be wherever the original one was. So.
It might be a little different in Germany, though. I don't know how the court system works over there.
And then Nintendo recently got out of a lawsuit. Concluded a lawsuit. They were suing somebody, like a company in Italy that was creating a device that would let you play like retro games or whatever. And so they were like, hey, that's
not property. Oh, the mod thing. Yeah, the chip. The mod chip, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. And they're like, that's not cool. And they won that lawsuit.
Nintendo won it?
Yeah. Because it's against the law.
Well, how is it against the law? The hardware is yours. You can do whatever.
Because they're creating a device that facilitates and encourages people to play pirated games.
You can play games that you own.
This is not the first time that Nintendo's won this lawsuit.
But why can't they leave that up to the user? I mean, the it's like emulation, right? It's not illegal to download an emulator. It's not illegal to download a ROM unless you own, if you own it. If you own the game, you can play that ROM.
It's like this, right? Napster, you can sue the people downloading it, or you just sue Napster and have Napster shut down.
Which happened.
Exactly. Which made it harder for a while for people to download legal music.
You know, nip it in the bud, basically.
Yeah.
I see that. I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it should be illegal.
I mean, it's probably much more cost effective for them to just get the manufacturer than it is to take 1,000 people to court.
I don't know, if they can make money off the people that are taking to court.
I don't think Nintendo has the luxury of being able to piss off that many fans.
Touché. They own the Mariners, though.
Speaking of unofficial apps for things, you know how Xbox One lets you stream Xbox One to your PC and you can play on your PC?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's creating that for the PS4.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I actually didn't read up on it, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, it's a app. The guy's charging $10. I think his username is Twisted. Yeah, Twisted. It's called Remote Play PC. And what it does is it tricks the PS4 into thinking that your PC is a Remote Play device, a la the Vita or, like, specific phones or whatever. And so you can play your PS4 games off of your PC. And he's done this before with the, because, you know, Sony released it for certain Sony phones, and he did it so you can do it on any Android phone.
So this is completely legit, right? It's legal and everything?
It's not like, legal. It's not.
So how?
It's not Sony sponsored.
But it is legal?
We'll see if Sony lays a claim to it. They might let it ride.
Because it doesn't do anything, like, to harm the system, to harm their sales. It doesn't do anything to Sony.
Right, but
I mean, all you're doing is just...
Sony could do a cease and desist when they're like, hey, we were going to roll something like this out, like, stop doing what you're doing, because we already got this. That's a lot of the times, that's what happens.
I thought Sony was doing something like this.
No.
This is a story that I read about this, and I thought it said that Sony was doing this. But I might be incorrect, and that might have been what the actual... Because I didn't actually read it, but the headline sounded different to me.
The other thing is that he's making money off of it, which he's asking
$10. Yeah, see, that's the thing, yeah.
So that he can, like, kind of do this more full-time and just work pretty much on this and to be able to, like, work out bugs and, like, make it more stable and all this other stuff. Which isn't unreasonable. $10, whatever.
I would pay $10 for something like that.
Well, no, not with your PC.
Shut up, dude. you're a stupid head. No, wait.
Because I know Sony was letting you stream to your Vita, letting you stream to some phones.
Can you stream every game to the Vita? Is that how that works?
Yeah. They don't necessarily all run, like, super great. But a lot of developers were actually built in controls for the Vita. So that if you stream it to your Vita...
No, like... it is Sony that is doing this. I did read it right.
No, it's Twisted.
No. Sony is asking people what PlayStation 2 games they would like to play on their PlayStation 4.
No, that's not what this is, though. This is remote play from the PS4 to another console. You're playing your PS4 game on your PC.
Oh, you're not talking about backwards compatibility.
No, I'm not talking about backwards compatibility. This entire time...
That's what I... Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But that is actually... They are... they have proven that they can do PS2 backwards compatibility, and they are looking into making that a thing.
So weird. PlayStation 2 ones.
It's their biggest library of games.
No, it's not.
Dude,
PlayStation 3?
There's no way it's bigger than the PS2
library. No way, really?
PS2 is like... That's when they were a huge bubble. They were an unstoppable force back in the PS2 days.
That was the Xbox era.
Yeah, well, the first Xbox was like one of the weakest libraries for the Xbox.
Well, I mean, there was a new system. It barely came out. Nobody really knew it.
Exactly. Whereas PS2 was already established. A lot of people felt comfortable making games for the PS2 because it was doing so well and because it already proved itself in the PS1 days. You got your Dark Clouds, you got your Final Fantasy X, your,
You said my PlayStation 3 can play PlayStation 1 games, correct?
If you have one of the first ones, yeah. Like, from the disc.
Or my PlayStation 4 can play PlayStation 1 games?
No.
Damn it.
Not yet.
That would be easier to stream.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, I can stream from the PS2, that's not an issue, but I just have to, like, connect so many cables.
And you mean
just...
PS3?
From PS2.
You can stream... You could play PS1 games on your PS3, probably.
I don't have the first generation. I might have the... I don't have the one that has the...
Do you have the second
PlayStation generation? 2 inside of PlayStation 3. I don't have that one.
Maybe not, then.
But you... I remember you telling me something that I can play PlayStation 1 games on it.
You might want to check, because I think the first and I think maybe the second generation still had that feature. Because you have one of the older, you have one of the fat ones.
Yeah, I definitely have the fat one, and it was,
It was the fat ones that had it.
Yeah, I got a fat one.
So you should try it. I mean, it's not going to hurt you, just pop the disc in. If it doesn't read it, it doesn't read it, right?
I hate hooking up, like, a PS2, though.
We'll try the PS3 one, to see if you need to hook it up. Stop making this more difficult than it has to be. Or just get one of those, like, crazy emulator devices.
Remember the Simpsons Hit and Run game?
I remember it was, like, Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Simpsons. I don't know, just popped in my head.
I never played it.
It was fun. I liked it. It got not so much fun, though. Like, pretty quickly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, at first it was great, you know what I mean? But, like, I think I got, like, halfway through the game, I was just like, eh, I don't want to play this anymore. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I
just want to remind people that December 5th and 6th, me and Black Hole Flare, me and Jeff here, will be attending the PlayStation Experience in person. So be excited. Please be excited.
Be excited for us, because I don't think there's enough excitement between us two.
So come that 8th, December 8th, expect to hear a lot of what we saw, our experiences there. We'll be seeing Capcom Cup live.
Yep.
Hopefully, I expect there to be PlayStation VR stuff there.
I hope so, too, because I didn't see anything VR in that lineup.
The lineup, yeah. A lot of indie developer stuff. But I will wait in that line all day if that's what it takes for me to be able to get that thing on my head.
Dude, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
I want to pretend like I'm falling when I'm not falling. I want my brain to think I'm falling and lie to my body.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it. I want it so bad.
I had something that I saw, but it's not game related. It's about the new Alien movie. Alien 5 or whatever.
What's his name's back on board, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, they're making it so that Alien 3 and Alien 4 never happened.
Really?
Yeah.
They're retconning it?
They're like, yeah, those movies suck, dude.
I know.
Alien 4, which was Resurrection.
Yeah.
That movie was just garbage.
I'm just surprised that they're retconning it.
And utter garbage.
I thought the next one was a prequel. Like the aliens something.
No, it takes thousands of years after Aliens.
So Ripley's dead for sure.
Ripley's dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe not, because the little girl is still there. It's going to be in the movie, the little girl.
Okay, so it can't be that.
What is her name?
Nellie?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
So, you know, they have the cryogenic stuff, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Ripley might still be alive.
It may be weird.
Maybe she decided to do the cryogenic thing into the future. I don't know, but it takes, it's thousands of years after Aliens, so, yeah. I don't know, it might be floating around in space in a cryogenic capsule.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Alien 3, Alien 4 never happened.
Okay, you're fine with that.
I don't care. Yeah, movies are crap.
You're the happiest man.
Alien 3, I think, was fun to watch, but it didn't feel right to me. Like, it wasn't really an alien movie.
What was that one?
That was the prison one. Where they were in prison. Yeah. And Alien 4, where they create, like, the stupid they make, like, clones, the clones of, Ripley, man. It's just.
And she's, like, super kung fu action. Why is it whenever somebody makes a clone of somebody in the movie, they're, like, super crazy kung fu action versions?
I know kung fu. Show me.
All right, let's do the Twitter question of the week. Twitter question of the week is, very, very holiday themed. Why are you thankful for video games?
I hate video games.
We did get one response here. Let me pull that up from our good buddy Vasago831. I was glad to hear from you guys. What else would I be doing on a rainy Tuesday? Clean? Read a book? Nah.
That's why I got married.
I'm curling up with a good game and thankful for it.
Why am I thankful for video games? Why?
Yeah.
Because of my everything. Because everything, man. They were a great part of my childhood. And I had friends come over to play co-op games. I think the one that most everybody played with me was Mario Kart. Mm. The original Mario Kart. I'm talking about Super Nintendo Mario Kart. Right? And I think when Mario Kart came out, it was just like the best thing ever, man. That was a drug, dude. And everyone wanted to play Mario Kart around me. Arcades. We would go to arcades and play, you know, play Street Fighter, play Mortal Kombat, play all these, you know, two fighting games and stuff. And it was just a lot of competition between us friends. And it was like super fun, you know what I mean? There's always, you know, 7-Elevens used to have arcade cabinets. I don't know if people remember this, but every 7-Eleven had two arcade cabinets. Every single one of them. And then they just kind of did away with them because there were a lot of, hoodlums always hanging around or something.
One of them was always Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I mean, it was a popular game.
No matter how long or old Mortal Kombat was. It was Mortal Kombat or Mortal Kombat 3. That was... They skipped you for some reason.
No. The one downtown, there was an arcade downtown on Pacific Avenue that had Mortal Kombat 2. And that's where I first saw Mortal Kombat 2. And it was still the... It wasn't the finished version of it. It was like version 1.0 of Mortal Kombat 2. So there was still a lot of kinks, you know, in that game. But, and I remember going in there and you remember that arcade on Pacific Avenue? That's where the Blue Lagoon is now?
No, I don't think I ever really spent that much. I was growing up, I spent a lot more time in Southtown than I did.
You suck. Anyway, and they also had like little racetrack for cars and stuff like that you could, you know, they're like, you could pay, right. $5 or whatever.
I've seen those type of things, yeah.
Yeah, so they had that set up too. But, I mean, their video games were always there for me. They create, you know, I created bonds with people because of video games. Even you.
Yeah.
Even you, Vegan. You know what I mean? This bond was created through video games, really. You know what I mean?
Bond with I'll be danged and...
Yeah, through video games. Everything's been through video games. I bonded with my children more because of video games. Playing with them, you know what I mean? And like, where at one point my daughter was like, hey, let's play Street Fighter. And I was like, I'm going to beat you. And she's like, yeah, let's play it though. I want to play. I was like, cool, whatever, let's play. You know what I mean?
And then she picked Guy and sweat started to pour from her face.
One time you beat me with Guy.
I know, like on your third
I wasn't even
character.
Trying, right, Dan? I wasn't even trying. God, you're just so random, dude. You're so random. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, literally, I was like, I don't really have a character, so I'm just going to pick random, like, every single time. And so, like, 9 times out of 10, like, pretty much, like, one time out of, like, 20 matches, like, I beat Jeff. And I was using Guy, and I was just like, he just come at me, and I was just, like, jumping, like, Guy just has massive air superiority with his, like, throws. So I just jump and, like, throw him. That was, like, the whole match.
I was going easy on you, Vegan. That's what happened. But
you got so mad. You got so mad.
Yeah, of course I got mad, dude. Some random dude, like, I was going to say guy, but I guess some random guy just straight up beats me. And I was like, no, this is not possible. Like, I play this game, and this guy just comes in with a character he's never played and just beats me. Because he's spamming, like, moves all the time, and I just don't know how to deal with it.
Well, it's good. You learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, like, you just don't expect people to play random like
you know,
that.
You know what the greatest swordsmith in Italy said once? He said, I am not the first place as far as a swordsman in Italy. He said, I am not afraid of second place. I am afraid of last place, for he is truly unpredictable.
Yeah. It's a good quote. I like that quote.
Yeah. I heard it in a Vincent Price movie. It was The Red Death, like the Red Mask or whatever. He did a little movie version of that with Vincent Price, and he says it in there.
I haven't seen it.
It's good.
So, yeah, that's why I'm thankful. I'm thankful... I think the bonds that video games has created throughout my life is what I'm thankful for.
Yes.
Family and friends, yes.
Family and friends. It's good. It's good. Yeah. I'm going to go with a slightly different approach.
Okay.
I'm going to go with more an introspective approach here. I'm thankful for the bevy of experiences that video games allow me to participate in. You know, being able to especially now as games are becoming more and more, like, immersive and stuff like that. Like, you know, my main example, Spec Ops The Line. Or, like, and a lot of games starting to follow that trope, like Fallout 4, stuff like that, where you have to kind of make decisions. And sometimes you don't know you're making a decision, or you don't know, it's not very clear, is this a good decision or not? Like, am I making the right choice? And, like, it kind of, it lets you experience those type of situations before, like, you get to them as an adult and stuff like that. So I think, like, growing up and stuff like that, playing games, playing RPGs where there's, like, loss of characters and stuff, and, like, these different emotions, experiences you have to go through, it forces you to kind of grow up as a person a bit.
Video games as a parent.
Video games as a parent. As a life coach. Video games as a life coach. You know, I'm thankful for those aspects, being able to kind of explore, like, my boundaries of, like, conscious and stuff like that through video games. And, like, what am I really comfortable doing? You know, stuff like that. Like, there are some real monsters out there.
So it's kind of a... You're just kind of measuring your...
My moral compass, you know? Like, yeah. There are games and stuff. Like, I'll play a game and, like, it's like, oh, you know, you can kill this person and get, like, 5,000 experience points, but they didn't do anything wrong. Or you can, like, fight 15 guys to help protect this person and gain, like, 5 experience points. I'm like, God, I just don't think I can just kill the person. Like, I just feel like a monster. And I know that about myself.
Even though it's a video game.
Even though it's a video game. But I know that about myself now. Because of video games.
That's kind of like the infamous ones. You always went good first, right?
You always go... Well, there is a strategy behind that. You always go good first, because if you're trying to get a platinum, good is always the hardest one to go for if you're trying... Because they always make you play on hard mode, right? So you do your regular playthrough as a good guy on normal. Then when you go back and you play on hard, you go
evil. You think you would have started that game on hard, though, if it wasn't for any trophy stuff?
Probably not, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, and my original playthroughs are always good. Oh, dude, in Fallout 4, dude, I recently did a mission in Fallout 4. I'm not going to do any spoilers. But, like, at the end of the mission, you get a choice, right? And so it's the classic Blade Runner choice, right? So, like, if you play the mission, you know which one I'm talking about. But it's a classic Blade Runner choice of, like, you may be right, but the ends justify the means. Like, you might be right in what you're doing here, but, like, if you're not right, like, you're just a monster, and, like, you're willing to take that. What I'm building here isn't ready yet, but through the sacrifice of these people I'm kidnapping, it will be ready, and it will work exactly like it's supposed to. I'm like, you're right. Like, eventually, yeah, but, like, how many sacrifices will you have to do in order to, like, get to that point? Like, am I okay letting that happen? And so I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not okay letting that happen. Like, even if you're right about this one person, like, I'm killing, saving this person.
Like killing 10 children to save a world or something.
Yeah, something like that, right? But I'm like, I can't consciously... I sat there for a bit. Like, I sat there, like, I was like, ah. I was like, no, I can't live with myself. Like, even if this does save the world or whatever, but you might be wrong. You might be wrong, and I'm
no guarantees. Yeah,
I can't let you do this on the chance that you might be right. And so I made my choice, and
you went against it.
I went against that person, and saved the other person. And by doing that, though, there's this community, this little enclave of people. They're all like nice people. You know, like none of them, like some of them are kind of creepy-ish. You know, a little cultish status, but like overall, like the people are like nice. But because you went against it, they all just start attacking you. And, like, there's not, like, you know, getting Fallout where it's, like, raiders are clearly raiders, and, like, you know, they wear, like, the punk rock outfits, and, like, super mutants are clearly super mutants. Like, these are dressed up like people, you know, they got their Sunday dresses on, stuff like that, and you're like, I guess I have to kill you, because you're not giving me any option here, and you're attacking me. I'm sorry. I gotta get my stuff in that town.
Okay, man, that's... Heavy stuff, dude.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, that's what I want games.
This game, dude.
That's what I want games like that to be. You know, I want those not clear cut choices. I want those moral choices where you have to, like, just kind of look at yourself and be like, you know, some people always be like, yeah, it's just a game, whatever, you know. I'm gonna be super evil in this game, so I'm always gonna pick the evilest choice or whatever. And, like, this one's like, there really isn't an evil choice per se. You know, it's just a morally ambiguous choice. And I think, and the same thing with Spec Ops: The Lines, it's just morally ambiguous choices.
I wouldn't call them so ambiguous. Well, some of them, yeah, some of them are. Some of them aren't, though. Yeah, some of them are pretty straightforward. Like, either you do this and or do that, and you know which one's right.
Or don't do either.
Yeah, see, but I didn't know that was an option. Don't do either was an option, but...
But if it's you, like, in the real-life situation, you know, they wouldn't say, like, you either do this or you don't do this. Or you can also do this, by the way. No, they would give you those two options, and you would have to, like, oh, well, I guess I gotta do this or that one. Or at the same, or in that moment be like, no, you don't tell me what to do.
So, yeah, that's cool. That's cool about you. You're a nice guy.
Inherently, as much as I'm not at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be a pretty big jerk.
Yeah, like, I will.
Yeah, I've never seen you be a jerk, dude. What am I talking about?
It's not an outward thing. Like, I'm very, like, oh yeah, like, I'm totally friends with this person. I'm like, I really couldn't care if you just, like, never showed up again in my life. Like, you know, like, I act friendlier to people than I actually am. I'm very, like...
I try not to do that anymore. I try to kind of let them know how I feel through conversation. Not directly, but just, you know what I mean? Like, just like, hey, take a hint. I try not to be nice to people who I really prefer not to be nice to, because, you know, they're not the type of person that deserves...
I mean, like that.
Well, what do you mean, then?
I mean, like, more like a psychological thing, where it's like, 8 out of the 10 friends that I have, like, really, like, at the end of the day, mean nothing to me. But it's like just a personal, like, way of me, how I am. So I'm like, no, I'm like, nice to you, because I want to be nice to you, but, like, I really don't care.
Am I like, one of them?
No. I wouldn't have you on the podcast.
You wouldn't be here if you were.
Yeah, no. You're a good friend, stuff like that. But, you know, like, I think what it is, it kind of came to a realization, like,
I bought you chips, man.
Around the time I stopped drinking,
You stopped drinking?
Yeah, for like 6 years.
Completely dry?
Yeah, completely dry. I was starting to get kind of borderline alcoholic-y. I was, you know, like, I was getting to the point where I'd come home and, like, just have a drink of, like, hard liquor and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I wake up in the morning. I literally, at one point in my life, one day, woke up in the morning, walked to the corner store, picked up a tall can of Mickey's, came back, realized I didn't have milk for my cereal, and seriously looked at my Mickey's.
Oh my god, dude, no.
And my cereal.
Did you do it?
I didn't do it. I snapped myself out of it, but I was like, what am I doing? Oh my god, am I an alcoholic?
That would have been so gross.
But I got to that point. I saw it, and I was like, I mean, I'm just going to drink it anyway and eat this. Why not just... No. What am I doing?
maybe we should have a dance corner now, man.
So I decided to stop drinking. So I had a big blowout party. It wasn't like my party or whatever, but I was like, I'm just going to go crazy one night, and I'm just going to quit after that. And, you know, that's when I had my Irish whiskey... And my Korean alcohol, and my sake, and my Chinese wine.
No, the Chinese wine is so gross.
The nightcap that killed it's my night. So the Chinese wine gross. Killed my night. But it was my first time, and I was like, when's the next time an actual Chinese person is going to offer me Chinese alcohol? I don't know. I'm going to take this opportunity.
That stuff was disgusting.
It will end your night. It will just end your night. Even if it's the first thing you drink, it will end your night.
Oh my god.
It's so harsh.
Yeah, I'm never drinking that again, ever.
You take a shot, and then you're like talking like this, because your throat's like in total pain.
It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't smell good either.
The one I had at the party didn't have that smell to it. But
the one
it was
I
still,
had did, so I, yeah, dude. It was super harsh. Yeah, screw that.
Super harsh. So yeah, I stopped drinking, and like I came to a realization, like, when I try to hang out with people I used to hang out with and stuff like that, I was like, man, if alcohol's not involved, like, we don't really do anything. Like, a lot of friendships are kind of like, a lot of people, like, interact with each other because of, like, a specific thing. You take that thing out, like, there's no reason for them to even
be near each other. I think that was a big deal with pot smoking as well. So, I mean, throughout the years, there's been a lot of, like, relationships that were based on that.
Yeah.
Or other stuff. you know, even from all that, there's still one person that came, a really good friend that came out of that. And, he still didn't stay clean for a while, and he had even more issues afterwards, but that relationship was beyond, you know, the substance, you know what I mean? It was more than that. But, you know, out of everybody, only one person, you know, became a good friend of mine. Just one out of, like, I don't know how many, dude, but it was different circles. Like, you know, I moved from circle to circle. It was just a lot of different people that I was just like, I would switch friends a lot, dude. And, you know, I didn't even think about it back then, you know, but it was just like, it was a lot of switching, you know. Now I'm with this group and they like to do this, and now I'm with these guys and they like to do this. And, you know, all of that just kind of would go, you know, some of that stuff would go away and then you could move on to the next one, you know?
Yeah.
It was just kind of, I don't know, man. It was crazy stuff. It's crazy times. But,
So, I mean, yeah, I think that moment kind of instilled this, like, concept in my head where I was like, do I even like you, or am I just, like, are we just hanging out because we're just hanging out? So it's kind of like, it seems off-puttish, you know, like dickish to
but
say.
But it's true, though.
But,
it's,
yeah.
It is real. Like, I've been through that. It's real, dude.
So that's basically what I mean, which is like, kind of like, I don't really care. I'm like, yeah, we're friends, huh? I don't really care who you are. You know, like, if people were actually watching me, like, at work and stuff like that, I'm always like, oh, yeah, haha, that's great. Like, smile on my face, talking to somebody. And as soon as they turn the corner, I'm just like a dead face, just instantly. Because I'm like, I'm not really involved in this conversation. Whatever.
So, I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff now.
In fact, you're going to stream tonight.
Because I'm getting off. I start at 6 now, so 2 hours earlier. I might work like an hour overtime, perhaps, every day.
Hopefully. It's only an hour.
No, it will be. It will be. Today was different because there was forklift training. So now we're officially trained on forklift. You know, now it's legit. Now OSHA can't be coming in saying, hey, you guys have been driving forklifts without any certification. Here's a big fine.
Right.
So now it's officially. We had a guy come in, whatever, from one of the forklift companies come and certify us. And that took like 4 hours, about 4 hours to complete.
Wow. Plus you got to do
somewhere between 4 and 5 hours. Yeah. So it was 4 or 5 hours of not working for like five people, basically all the warehouse men and me and my new partner.
Right.
So nothing was done for like, you know, close to 5 hours. So that's why I got off like, you know, I basically worked 12 hours with somebody helping me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was just nutty. But anyway, so I'm probably going to be getting off no later than 3:30 now.
Oh, nice. You can actually get off before me then.
But I have to go to bed earlier. That's the only drawback.
Right.
Except for obviously Fridays and Saturdays.
But so. You won't go to bed earlier.
Will because I can't handle 2 hours of sleep, dude. I would have to. It would be 2 hours of sleep if I did the same thing.
But just like you, I get
like 4 hours
it.
Of sleep a night.
I know.
And now that I start 2 hours earlier, there's no way I can handle 2 hours, dude. There's no way.
So you're gonna be going to sleep.
It's impossible, dude. Yeah, it's impossible. 12 would be my latest. 12 would be the latest.
So that's like how late I stay up usually now.
And it's pretty late. It's pretty late. But Yeah, so, I mean, that's happening. So, I finally got my guy. They finally moved him to a different shift, but not really, because he's supposed to be on the night shift, but now he's working at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm starting at 6. So, I don't know what the deal is right there, but either way, there's somebody helping me now. I got an assistant. So, yeah, things will work out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, hope you guys all have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
And can't wait to tell you guys about PlayStation Experience. Can't wait to experience PlayStation Experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Bloodborne DLC. Are you gonna get it?
I really want to.
You should. Yeah. It's like 20.
It's 20 bucks. Yeah. Catch me at twitch.tv/blackholeflare.
I think I'm just gonna make you stream every time you come over. Every time you play Isaac over here, I'm just gonna make you stream it.
I'm down. I don't care.
So every Tuesday.
It's gonna be like one game.
Yeah, it's like a 1 hour thing usually. You're usually here for like at least an
hour. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Black Hole Flare every Tuesday. He'll be live for sure.
It's official now, I guess.
Yeah, it's official. Thanks for listening, guys.
Good night.